I just want to share something really simply, and then I'm going to show you a really quick little video clip. There's so much in what we're reading, and again, I keep saying it, but I hope you can continue reading the Bible with us this year. We do get behind, and we get, you know, you have to catch up, and there are days I'm doing 3 days of reading and trying to catch up, and you know, it's a reality. We live in a busy life, but there's so much that we can be taking a hold of and reading. And I found this verse, and it's one that has caught my attention before, but it's 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 14. I just want you to listen to the heart of it. And there's, you know, I really thought back on my life as I was reading this, and I'm so grateful for the way, you know, I was raised, and I'm so grateful for my own mum's heart, though she's passed away now. But there's this passage in 2 Samuel 14, 14, says this, like water that is spilled out on the ground that cannot be recovered, so each of us must die. Now that might sound depressing to you, and what on earth would I read that for this morning? It's this day of celebration, but it's just this incredible second part to it that says, I'll read the first again. Water, like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be recovered, so we each must die. But God does not take away life. Counter to popular opinion, it says there, God does not take away life. Instead, He devises ways so that a person who is distant from Him or a banished person may not remain estranged. God does not take away life, but He devises ways so that a person who is distant may not remain estranged. You know, I was thinking on this and I thought of my own mum's heart. And I honestly believe that a mother's heart reveals a lot of the beauty and the compassions of the heart of God. This passage reminded me a lot when I wandered, when I went my own way, when I got stuck in about what I wanted to be about. I was blessed that I had parents who didn't abandon me but pursued me. I had a mother who continually prayed, and I'm actually really blessed that I have a Bible of hers that goes back some 50 years and passages that she's underlined and highlighted and written our names next to, and she's prayed over. And I realize that that expression is the heart of God, that He does not abandon us or hand us over to destruction in our lives wantonly or with intent to destroy or harm us. It says He devises ways that we might know Him and be restored to Him. And I love that all around the place, God has, you know, in creation made statements about Himself. And so we can't just avoid Him. We sort of crash into Him all the time. He's saying, I want you to know me. I want you to know me. I want you to know my heart. I want you to know my compassions. And the thing I realize is that often we're at odds with that. We're at odds with the heart of God. We don't connect with His heart for us, or we hear His heart for us and we become sort of self-interested in it. So before I go into my brief chat from Psalms 37 this morning, I thought this little video clip beautifully illustrates the heart of God that we so often can sort of twist to our own bent on it, but also that enduring, caring, compassionate heart expressed in that of a mother, even when us as children may not quite get it.
Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for my beautiful daughter.
Thank you for my beautiful mummy.
Watch over her as she sleeps tonight.
Don't let her have any sad or bad dreams.
Keep her from harm, sickness, and pain.
Make Daddy keep loving her.
Help me to teach her to love learning.
Please let Mummy read me lots of books tomorrow.
To be honest.
And don't let her find the bracelet that I broke.
And to be nice to her brother.
And if she does find it, make her think that it was my brother that broke it.
Help her to think of others.
Please make my brother feel better and not be sick anymore.
Before she thinks of herself.
Because I'm getting sick of staying home and not going to the park.
In your name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
P.S. Don't let her find the chocolate wrappers either. And God, let her have a really happy Mother's Day.
I think I used to pray prayers like that. Don't let her find stuff I broke. I love the heart of a mother. If you have a Bible and it's accessible, flip it open to Psalm 37. In Psalm 37, I've just entitled this Keys to Light-Hearted Living. Light-hearted is not hyphenated, it's not one word in this, because sometimes light-hearted can come across as frivolous or careless or just, you know, joking about it. But it's not that sense of light-hearted. It is living with a heart that is not just weighed down and burdened with the cares of life, but really has that ability to walk in liberty and in lightness. So there's four sort of key things and a fifth that will introduce it. But I just want to read from verses 3 through 7, and then I'll come back to verse 1. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause shine like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways and when wicked schemes are carried out around you." This passage, I really believe, holds some very simple words that if we take them on, affect the way that we live. And for mums, I know that there are times in your life because of the weight that you carry of the concern for children. It's a beautiful part of what I believe God has created, that you do tend to carry the compassions and those yearnings in a deeper and stronger way than I think sometimes we who are dads do. And listen, if for some of us, Mother's Day is a hard day. You know, some who have wished to be mothers and are not mothers, unable to be mothers. There are those who have never had that opportunity. There are those who have had children and lost them for any number of reasons. And there are those who have had mothers who have passed on. But today is also a day for me that I always reflect on the life I have because I had a mum. I don't believe there are any here born of divine circumstance, nor do I believe that there are those who are found in gardens, as some of us were told. We were born. We were given life. We were nurtured. We were raised. We were cared about. Some by stepmothers, some by natural mothers, but all of us are where we are because someone cared. Someone carried those compassions. Someone carried those yearnings. And I hope, though there's some great truths in this for mothers, I hope that all of us walk away with something. But one of the things I saw in my own mother's life were times when I overheard her say, under the weight of watching her kids and carrying those compassions, say to my dad, "I don't think I'm any fun anymore. You're a lot funner than I am." And I remember hearing my dad going, "No, you know, we're just different. We just carry it differently. We just, you know," and I remember hearing that, but I also know it's a reality of many other mums, that they come to this place, that they feel in the carrying, that they carry it in such a real way that you can lose that joy of that role. And I don't believe that God ever wants us to lose the joy in the roles that He's given us, in the tasks that He's given us at any point in life. So I just want to walk through this psalm and give you some things that I hope you can take from it. The first verse says this: "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong, because in the end, that'll pass away." But don't fret. I know that mums carry the weight of that. They carry the weight for their kids. They are often, and Christian parents for sure, praying for their kids and asking God for discernment. And, you know, I used to really think that my parents enjoyed my friends. In reflection, I think it was closer to the saying that it's good to keep your enemies close. As young boys, there were four of us, four sons, all strong-willed, strong-minded, and we gathered around us the hoi polloi, the mishmash of all sorts of influences, and they weren't always good. And I'd rather blame all of them for the influences, not my own choices anyway. But we realize, you know, our parents carry this yearning over us. And I discovered that my mum and my dad came to a place that they chose that they would not fret nor fear, nor become overwhelmed with the things that we even took on, decided to be involved in. They came to a very genuine trust. And this psalm I found when I was going through some word meanings. And when I study word meanings, I go back to the King James Version. I don't tend to read from the King James Version. And I came to Psalm 37 in her little Bible, because it's this grand old version. And I find that Psalm 37, these verses are highlighted and underlined and little notes put next to them and the dates that they meant something. And 40 years ago, the date here is written as 1972 and another part 1971. So 40 plus years ago, these passages were speaking hope and rest to a mum that would have been in some place of need. And I love that this enduring word written and inspired to David literally over thousands of years ago is still a word that is living, and I want it to be alive to you. The first thing that they came to is this: trust. Trust in the Lord and do good. The word trust there is this beautiful word that's not just wishful and sort of sitting in one place, and there's another who somehow might have influence on our situation, and I'm trusting them to bring change or life or light or hope to it. The word here for trust is really find refuge in. Many other times in the Bible, David writes things like, God, you're my refuge, you're my strength, you're my ever-present help in time of trial. And this word trust is that connectedness between God as refuge, strength, firm foundation, and actually immersing ourselves in that, moving into that space. That he's not just this distant, ethereal sort of force. He is actually the one in whom I find myself. And the word trust in the Lord is take refuge, but to do good is to take action out of that place of refuge. To trust is to find refuge and to be bold. And this verse is to find that refuge, be bold, and then do something. Take action. And then, it's to find a place of strength and then act in that strength. Find the place of strength in who God has said he is. Don't fret, don't fear, don't worry and be concerned about things, but find refuge, find identity, find him enfolding you, and then act out of that in a bold, firm, courageous manner. The things that, you know, so often hinder us are the things we fret about and concern ourselves with. I couldn't help but think of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read it from two different versions. First, from the NIV. The NIV says this, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Life is much more important than food, and the body more important than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow nor reap nor store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than them? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See, the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't labor nor spin. And yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into a fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, don't worry, saying, what will I eat or what will I drink or what will I wear? For the pagans run after such things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I love Eugene Peterson's interpretation of those words in The Message. He writes it like this: "If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes that hang on your body. Look at the birds, they're free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than birds do. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provision. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God's doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. That's the same passage, Matthew chapter 6, from the Message. Trust, take refuge, be bold, and take action. And it goes on to say, and dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Live in the land. And I actually like the King James interpretation of this too. It says, live in the land that God has allotted you, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verily, absolutely. But look at the word there, dwell in the land. I believe that we are to find rest in what God has allotted to you. Too often we look over the fence, we look around us, we look at what others have, what others are doing, other people's life situations, and yearn for it and end up doing everything we can to wander into that, to find ourselves in what others have. But the moment we do that, we're not living in the land that is allotted to us to live in. You're not living in what God gave you or gave you to do. And when we're never at rest in what God has allotted to us, we never will never be fulfilled in it. What it says here is live in the land and verily or absolutely or most assuredly, you will be fed. I believe that when we go outside of God's design or his bounds, we go outside of his provision. Okay, that's my opinion. But I think when we go outside of what he has called us to, designed for us, gifted us for, and because we look at what others are doing, what others have, and we yearn after it, and we put ourselves in these situations, and then often wonder, God, where were you? Where did you abandon me? Where did you leave me? And I think God would say, you know what? You're not doing what I made you to do. Find who you are. Walk in those gifts of who you are. And verily, I say to you, as the psalmist says, verily, you will be fed. You will be provided for. You will find that that is your place of refuge and your place of strength. So the first key to this, you know, to this living with a light heart is to trust and do. Find refuge and take action out of that place. Secondly, in verse 4, says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, men, don't be afraid. But that word delight, which is for all people, is a very feminine word. Sometimes we have to get in touch with our feminine side. As guys with their arms folded going, that will never happen. Here's what this word literally means. To delight yourself means this, to be soft, to be pliable, and to be tender towards. Delight yourself in the Lord means don't be so tough, resistant, self-reliant, which is very often what we as men fall to. It says this, be pliable, be soft, be tender towards the Lord. In fact, the Bible says he is our strength. We're not our strength. He is our strength. And what God wants to do is form us to his likeness. In Romans chapter 8, it said that God's desire, we be conformed to that likeness of Christ. Allow God to shape us, to mold us, and then in that, he gives us the desires of our hearts. Why? Because our passions, our desires, our values, everything is shaped to the things that move him. Our desires will be right. Our values, the same as those things that God values. Our passions directed towards the things that He is passionate about. And our pursuits fall in line with Him and those things that He desires and pursues. When we delight ourselves, when we are tender towards the Lord, when we're shaped by Him, when He moves our heart, when He shifts us, He gives us the things we delight in, because we delight in the things that are pleasing, pleasurable to Him. And God delights in it, and we are fulfilled in it. So firstly, trust in the Lord, and then take action, do. But secondly, commit our ways to Him. Delight ourselves in Him. And then thirdly, commit our ways to Him. I love this word, commit. In verse 5, it says this: commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. This word commit means this: to roll together. When I picture it, it's like when you take, you know, Play-Doh or plasticine, and you have these two colors, red and white, and you just push them together. They can dwell side by side and remain red and white forever. But the moment you start rolling them and mashing them and intertwining them and twisting them, it takes on this whole new persona. And this word that for commit means literally that, to roll together, to intertwine. So when it says commit your ways to the Lord, it says roll yourself into His ways. Don't just hold Him off as, you know, the distant guide to my life, the big guy upstairs, the man in charge, you know, the universe, the powers, whatever. He wants you to be personally intertwined with Him. Seek occasion to know Him, to trust Him. And then it says, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. When we are moved by the things that move God, when we delight in the things that God delights in, when we find our refuge in Him and trust in Him, and we're not fretting and worried and torn off the path, and we literally come to this place that we intertwine ourselves and roll ourselves into Him, those things that are right, your right living, those things in you that are shaped, begin to shine like the noonday sun, like the midday heat of the day sun in the sky that everybody knows is there, begin to shine in you. Those things, when they begin to shine, can't be hidden away. That's what I love. Even the warmth of the sun, doesn't matter how cloudy it might be, life goes on because of the warmth of that sun shines through. And I believe that when it talks about that righteousness and the justice of your cause beginning to shine, it's warming to people around. It's enlightening to people around. It's undeniable to people around, and it becomes a source of life to people around you. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your ways to the Lord. You know, when my mum died and we had a service, all those young friends of mine, the ones who were held close, they filled the seats at her funeral. They were young men, the same age as us, but they didn't come just because they were my mates. In fact, many of them I hadn't been around for years and years. But they knew that my mum lived and valued everything that she believed, and it was like this warmth that they were they were nurtured by, bought life by, and many of them from homes that were very difficult. And that's the beauty in any of our lives when these things begin to show that God molds in us and works in us. It brings hope and refuge and restoration to those around us. Commit your ways and He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause, your right living like the noonday sun. And lastly, verse 7, be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out wicked schemes. Be still. Find rest. I can't help when I think of that. That word be still has this connotation of just find a quietness of heart. Just quietness. Whatever's happening around you, whatever's happening in your home, whatever's happening in business, in your workplace, there's a quietness that can be found. You know, I was diving one time and in this place called the Palancar Reefs, and it's a semi-precarious dive. You go down, I'll measure it in feet, at about 85 feet under the water, which is too deep to ascend from in an emergency anyway, so you're sort of in this precarious space. On the Palancar Reef, there is an incredible coral shelf that then has a tube that, for whatever reason, is called the Devil's Throat. And it's a tube that you can dive into, and it's, you know, just enough to scrape your belly and your tanks through, and there's little windows through the coral, and you wind down and you come out at about 126 feet underwater. It's the most incredible experience. But the one thing in this environment is that you better be as still as you can, because there is just, you know, however long it took to develop this, years of silt and sand in this tube. And the moment you start kicking or floundering around or flustering, all this silt is there and you no longer see anything. And as we're going through, there's one lady that I think she just kind of panicked in there, and she's just like, you know, I want to get out. And she's kicking and grabbing and, you know, and I'm behind her, and inside I just, you know, I wanted to rip a regulator out, but I couldn't reach. Now, I didn't do anything like that. I could see the dive guide at the front, and he's just telling us, stop. And in the end, I had to grab both her fins and like hold them together so that she wouldn't keep flipping and causing this. And it was just this incredible illustration to me of what happens when we're ill at ease and everything gets muddied around us. We don't think straight. We don't see clearly. You lose all perspective of where you are and where you're going because you're just kicking and trying to sort this thing out. And God just goes, be still. I haven't lost sight of you. I know where you are. Breathe easy. And there's this quietness that just comes. I love that this is so closely related to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. When I think of stillness and quietness, I go and read this passage. Jesus and his disciples came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who, this is all it says about her right here, she sat at the Lord's feet listening to him. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, to Jesus, in front of everyone there and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to get up and to help me. Now, this, I think, tells you a fair bit about the situation, because I find in life that when someone is willing to rip on someone in public, that they'd be a tyrant to live with in private. when they in public will, you know, lose it on you, I just fear for what happens in private. And here comes Martha, storms into the living room. Mary's just sitting there enjoying Jesus. And she just like lets loose in front of all the friends and all the people and just begins to abuse Mary. And Jesus says this, Martha, you are worried and you are upset over many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. All we know of Mary is she just stopped. She sits at Jesus' feet and listens. Yes, there's sweeping to be done. Yes, there was cooking to be done. Yes, the table had to be set. And Martha's just flustered over it. And Jesus just goes, in the midst of all that, you know what? This is the better thing. I'm not going to tell her to do anything. Be still. Be quiet of heart. And in that same breath, in verse 7, it says, and do not fret. When you see all these things around you, the evil ways succeeding, etc., don't even worry. Don't fret. Don't get entangled in that. Remain enrolled. Remain in trust. Remain delighting. Remain committed. And remain at rest. It's not easy. But this is when we turn our hearts to God and we go, God, I want that. What spoke to my mum 40 plus years ago spoke to my heart this week in our readings. And I pray will speak to your hearts today. The words for today, well, first, don't fret, but that's not, doesn't really give us any keys. That's just the don't. Here's the four positives for you. Trust, delight, commit or be enfolded, and rest. Trust, delight, commit, and find rest. I'm just wondering if mums who are here, if you'd be willing to just stand if you are able, and if you're not able to stand, just put your hand up in the air. Good one, mum. Selena, you can just wave. Actually, I have to just say this because so many of us just miss Selena. She comes in and all this. Someone actually asked me this morning in the first service, do you have an auto text attached to your voice that you use over here? And I said, no, that's Selena. She is a stenographer who faithfully comes and sits and puts this up for the benefit of people who find it hard to hear and understand what I'm saying or are unable to hear. And so, Selena, I appreciate you so much because you're a mum and I know today is a day that you could be celebrating with your husband and kids and you've come to serve us. And I really want to honour you and thank you for your heart in that. But for the rest of us mums, I just, us mums, look at that. For the rest of us mums, I'm only saying that because I want one of the little gifts that we have at the end of this. I just want to pray. I want to pray for you along the lines of these words. And I want to thank you. I know you've been thanked by your families, or at least I hope. But I want to thank you. I want to thank you for what you reveal of the heart of God. Even when you don't know it, the things that are wired into you, the way you carry your compassions and your cares. So, Father, I just ask, and maybe some of us can stand and just lay a hand on these. In fact, I'm praying from down here. Father, I want to thank you for every one of these mothers. God, I want to thank you for what you've revealed in their lives of your character and what you reveal in women that is different from what you reveal in men. And I thank you for the beauty of that. And I thank you for the way that they carry the compassions. And Lord, the way they carry the children so close to their hearts in different ways from us as fathers. And Lord, I pray this day that our mums who are here would know these words coming to life in them, that they would know what it is to trust and to do, to find refuge and to act, what it is to delight themselves in you, to find that there is really that place of being shaped, of malleable, of just turning toward you, God, of committing themselves to you, of being enrolled with you, enfolded in you, and living out of that. And then, God, I pray that there would be rest over their lives in that quietness in the midst of doing. God, I pray there would be those moments of just being, of just finding quietness and stillness. And Lord, now I pray that you would bless them and that you would keep them and that you would make your face to shine upon them, each one, and be gracious to them. Lord, would you lift up the light of your countenance and light their way? And I pray, give them your peace in Jesus' name, both now and evermore. Amen. Amen.